Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 18th of February. I'm Paul White, and I am journeying through the book of Zechariah. Come join us in the 8th chapter as we journey into verse number 8 today. Let's start in 9. I think that we covered 7 and 8 fairly well yesterday. We're going to go 9 at least through 13 today. I always try to give you a little heads up about where we'll be, and then probably finish chapter 8 tomorrow. I know that seems like a lot of ground to cover, but let me give you the reason why I'm moving this way. The word of the Lord has been coming to Zechariah in a different manner in the second half of the book than in the first half of the book. The first half is vision after vision after vision, and Zechariah has to ask a lot of questions. He's a lot like us. I think if we were there, we would wonder, what are these stories trying to convey? And that seems to be Zechariah's issue for at least the first 6 chapters, when there's vision after vision. And now it's conversation after conversation, most of which is the Lord speaking. If you were doing sort of the 30,000 feet view of Zechariah 8, instead of being down into the muck and mire, you were up top just looking over it. What you'll notice is that every few verses, it says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts," or "Thus says the Lord." And it is another paragraph, basically, of God talking to Israel. It does it at the top of the chapter. "Thus says the Lord" in verse 3, verse 4, verse 6, verse 7, verse 9. Verse 11 ends with a "says the Lord," 14 opens with one, 18 opens with one, 20 opens with one, 23 closes the chapter with one, and so you get a good chapter break there, because then Zechariah does a little bit of review after chapter 8. So you've got God speaking over and over. Now, I bring this up because I want to make sure we are doing our due diligence contextually as Bible students, that we're not assuming that just because the text says, "Thus saith the Lord," that he's saying it to us. It's very important, I think, to remember that "thus saith the Lord," while very important, maybe, and in many cases is, directed to a very specific audience in a time and a place to whom the Lord is speaking. And so God is speaking to returning Israel. They've been in Babylonian captivity. They went into captivity as a result of their failure to keep their end of the bargain, the covenant, which was to take care of the widow and the fatherless and the alien and the poor. You can find that in Zechariah 7:10. And now God's bringing them back. And so let's read a little bit of these "thus saith the Lord's." I'll start in 7, because there's a "thus saith the Lord." "Behold, I'll save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. I'll bring them back." Covered that yesterday. "They shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people. I will be their God in truth and righteousness. Thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, you who've been hearing in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets who spoke in the day the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord of hosts." That's a reference to the fact that God has had prophets speaking to Israel from the moment the foundation of the new temple had been laid. And these are the prophets, a lot of which we call the minor prophets. Some of them are nestled a little earlier in the book, maybe mistakenly. I've always wondered why Nehemiah is way back there. Ezra and Nehemiah are way back there in front of Psalms and Proverbs. Maybe they should be further back in the minor prophets, but that's for greater minds than mine. 10, for before these days there were no wages for man nor any hire for beast. There was no peace from the enemy for whoever went out or came in, for I set all men, everyone against his neighbor. That's a reference to the fact that Israel went into captivity, there was nothing they could do in captivity. There were no jobs, there was no peace. They were prisoners. "But now I will not treat the remnant of the people as in the former days, says the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give its fruit." That seed there, by the way, is the seed of peace. "The seed shall be one of peace, and the vine shall give its fruit." This is a prophecy of that which is going to happen now that Israel's come back into the land out of captivity. "The ground shall give her increase, the heavens shall give their due. I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these, and it shall come to pass that just as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you. and you shall be a blessing. Do not fear, let your hands be strong. And so they had their problems, but they had been restored. So this, to me, these prophecies are very specific to time and place. Does that mean that there's nothing for us to learn from time and place specific prophecies? I think the answer to that is no. It doesn't mean that, because we're dealing with God whose qualities overarch the Bible and all of its stories. And so when you see God saying or doing something, you want to put it within the proper covenantal perspective, and then you want to make sure that you see what that can do for you. So let's take, for instance, your seeds prosper, your vine gives its fruit, the ground gives her increase. These are blessing promises. This is what God says is going to happen to Israel. Now, it's a result of them coming back to the land and being obedient. You and I know that Paul reinterprets the promises of God as the promises of God are in Christ. They are yes and they are amen. So God's promises are not contingent under the new covenant on you doing right. They're contingent on Jesus doing right. And you get them by the amen. So you can go back into the Old Testament where God is making time, place, specific promises, and you can claim those as all the promises of God as being in Christ. So you have the right then to read something like the seed is peaceful, the vine gives its fruit, the ground gives its increase, the heavens give their due. I cause the remnant of the people to possess these, and it comes to pass as you were a curse, now you'll be a blessing, and you can amen that. And you say, well, this is house of Israel, house of Judah specific. Yes, but even that's reimagined under the new covenant, because if you'll recall, there is no Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female in the New Testament. And you and I are the Israel of God, Galatians 6. The promise of the new covenant is made to Israel and Judah. You and I get in on that because we are of the seed of Abraham. Our faith is Abraham's faith, therefore we receive what they receive. So these distinctions that are made, and often made by good-intentioned New Covenant people who go, well, there is still a difference between Israel and the church, and that God has this separate idea for us. I don't think they understand what they're doing, and I also don't think they would do very well in a debate with the Apostle Paul, who believed that people came in now not by circumcision or natural rites of birth, but they came in as a grafted-in vine by faith, through the same faith that Abraham had. So if that be the case, and if we don't buy that, then there's probably not a lot of common ground for us to buy. If that be the case, then we receive the promises of the Old Testament. We receive them not because we do good, but because we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We've literally made a trade. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. What was Abraham? He was declared righteous. What did he get for being righteous? He got the blessings of heaven, and he got to be a blessing on the earth. That's what you get. Time to say amen to it. I hope you've enjoyed this today. Here's what we do tomorrow, is we're going to continue on into 14, into another Thus Saith the Lord of Hosts. We're going to try to finish the chapter. If you want you want to follow me personally, you want to see what's going on in my life, you want to see what's going on in Paul White Ministries, you want to see what's going on with our postings and our material, then follow me on Twitter at Deeper Daily Pods. Go check our stuff out at paulwhiteministries.com. See you tomorrow. God bless.